to They Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 51, The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Don't bury this podcast! We're not dead!
Dude, what the hell was that voice?
That's the tagline. I don't know, it's my Serpent and the Rainbow podcast voice, I don't know. Don't do it! We're not dead!
We're not dead! We're getting better!
We're getting better!
Welcome back, everyone. Hello. I'm your host, Chaos.
Co-host Carnage here.
Would you at least say I am?
I am your co-host Carnage. I have the hand on the hip. I had the movements going. No one is watching the podcast, though, so they can't see the movements.
You're a sassy lassie tonight. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of digging it.
That's what happens when I'm, like, up working.
I guess.
All right. What's up?
So, as we already mentioned, this week we did The Serpent and the Rainbow. This was a Chaos pick. If you're just joining us for the first time, we are two best friends who love to bicker and banter about horror movies.
Yay!
We deconstruct them, and we give you spoilers for everything, so we're warning you now. We are also warning you it's not safe for work.
Yay! I'm never safe.
Neither of us are individually safe for work.
Or safe for anything. Or this public podcast, viewing.
We're not safe for public consumption. Therefore, this podcast is not safe for work.
This week we did The Serpent and the Rainbow. It was done in 1988. It was rated R. It was 98 minutes long. And it got a 6.5 on the IMDb scale. What about that tomato meter?
Tomato meter is a 61%, no critic consensus, audience score 56%.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You want a summary?
I would love a summary.
Okay. You ready?
I am.
Bill Pullman made a movie. Chaos made me watch it. Things went awry.
I can't even lie because I literally, when I picked this movie, forgot that she hated Bill Pullman.
The classic Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton. You have to pick one. You can't like both.
But I do. I love both of them.
No, that's just okay, traitorish.
Bill Pullman was Lone Star. For me, you cannot say anything bad about Bill Pullman.
Bill Paxton was Hicks.
He was Lone Star. Hudson. Doesn't matter. Hudson? I'm not comparing the two of them. I love both of them.
Which one was he? Was he Hudson or Hicks?
He was Hudson.
Shit, I'm having a brain fart tonight. Holy shit.
He was Hudson.
The hands back on the hip, and I'm like... I'm all confused at myself.
The reason why I could never dislove, which is totally a word, Bill Pullman is because he was Lone Star in Spaceballs.
I know, but he was so horrible of an actor, though.
Fucking dreamy. No, Bill Pullman's problem is he can do comedy just fine. He is not a serious dramatic actor. I'm sorry, I'll say it.
No, he's not. Stick to comedy.
Yeah.
Don't do the drama.
We'll get into that more later.
I guess you want a real summary, right?
Yeah.
What was your summary again? White man goes to Haiti, things go awry. Was that yours?
Arrogant white man goes to Haiti, things go awry. Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, Bill Pullman is Dennis, and he is going to Haiti because he heard about this zombie man, and he's going to investigate the voodoo magic.
Well, actually, he's... contracted by a pharmaceutical company,
yes,
who's looking for the next big anesthesia drug to go try to find out how they make, because they hear about, what's his name, Christoph.
Christoph, yeah.
And they want to see if it can be used as, like, an anesthetic,
which is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever heard.
But,
yeah. But Hollywood had to make a movie, so.
So things went awry.
Yes. That's basically it. And then he meets, Marielle and Mozart and people along the way.
So many people.
And people die and
people voodoo's die. Voodoo is practiced.
Horribly, yeah, but it's misconstrued.
Horribly misconstrued, portrayed.
Portrayed, thank you.
Yes.
I guess we should do some cast, though.
Let's talk about the cast. Dennis Allen was Bill Pullman, of course. Marielle Duchamp, the doctor, was Kathy Tyson. Was she a psychiatrist? Was that what she was?
Yes.
Was that a psychiatric hospital?
Yes, she was part of a psychiatric hospital.
Darjeant Patrod. Thank you. Darjeant Patrod was...
Zakes Mokay.
Thank you. Louis Mozart was Brent Jennings.
I love his name.
And Christoph was Conrad Roberts.
Mozart.
I know, I love Mozart. He was one of my favorites.
I love Mozart's music.
Me too. Imagine that. I wonder how they got it from Haiti, though.
I know, right? It's so weird. How did you travel in time and continuum from the 1600s? You were in the 1600s.
We thought it was just a composer. Turns out he was also a voodoo sorcerer.
In Salzburg,
AKA
Austria.
A.K.A. Bokor.
Well, maybe that's how through voodoo.
Oh. I didn't know time travel was a voodoo thing.
It could be. We don't know much voodoo.
We don't know. We're just ignorant Americans. It could be.
Okay, we're not that ignorant. We know it's just a joke. Voodoo is a joke.
I don't know. Oh.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. No.
I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Not wow. kidding.
Cutting that.
I'm kidding. No, you're not. I'm kidding.
Holy crap.
The joke about it being part of time-space continuum.
Well, so is your religion then. Oh, wait, you don't have one?
I worship My Little Pony in all its glory.
Rainbow Dash?
Yes. What's the apple one? Applesauce?
Applejack. Applesauce the pony.
I have not partaken in any drugs or alcohol tonight. I just like to put that on there.
I am so entertained by you, though. It's like you have. I don't
this
know.
This is me on Sunday.
Oh, my God, I guess. Anyway, so that's our main cast. Crew, the only thing I have to say about Crew is this is a Wes Craven film. This was, like, Wes Craven's bid for, to be, like, a serious filmmaker.
I'm not impressed, Wes.
No.
Not impressed at all.
I mean, I get what he was going for, but he really chickened out, and I think he could have...
He put a sex scene in there. There was no sex scene in the book.
I think he could have done I mean, considering there was a book to work from, he could have done so much with this material, and he just... This is what we got instead. Anyway...
We should probably say who wrote the book.
Oh, yes. Who wrote the book?
Wade Davis.
Wade Davis, that's right. No, it is Wade Davis, because yes. I started to read the book.
This is a picture of Wade here. He looks like Patrick Swayze with 80s hair.
Oh my God, he does. And I've read enough about this book and Wade Davis and what he did in researching for this episode that I should have been able to just right off the top of my head, but still. Wade Davis wrote the book. Wade Davis was a Harvard guy. He did not work for a pharmaceutical country. Country? He did not work for a pharmaceutical company.
No, he was part of the Harvard Botanical Museum.
Yes, he's an ethnobotanist, and this was a trip he took for, I believe, for his master's thesis or something.
PhD.
PhD, thank you.
Yeah, he spent more than 3 years in the Amazon and the Andes as a plant explorer, living among 15 indigenous groups in 8 Latin American nations while making some 6,000 botanical collections. I can talk. Botanical collections.
Right. So yeah. This was a dude who was really serious about his work. And really serious about portraying the cultures and religious practices he came across in a respectful, sensitive way.
And then they took his book and just fucked it up.
Yeah. And then they took pretty his book much. And made it into a Hollywood cliche.
Thank you, Hollywood and Wes Craven.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I guess that's moving us right into opinions, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. You want to go first?
Did you have anything technical? Oh, I have one technical thing. They did film on location in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. I really enjoyed the director of cinematography, and I believe that he did a great job at least getting the feel of those street markets and things right.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah, the set was nice. I mean, they were going to film in Haiti, but Haitian government couldn't.
Well, they did do some filming in Haiti.
Right, but they couldn't guarantee their safety, so that's why they moved
right,
to the Dominican
Republic. Right, so then
Republic,
they had to move. Yeah, they had to leave. They wanted to do it
in
Haiti.
Kind of similar area, though, at the time, I believe.
Yeah, it wasn't safe for them there, though, so they had to go.
Which I think Bill Pullman should have stayed there, then.
Bill Pullman should have stayed.
They should be like, you stay. Just practice this on your own. We'll come back for you.
It's really fine. No, no, no. There's no... We're all gonna leave, but that has nothing to do with anything. You just stay.
You just stay.
You're so mean to poor Bill Pullman. What did Bill Pullman ever do to you?
Wait, I know this. What's the name of that movie? While You Were Sleeping. That's what he did to me.
Okay, I wouldn't even watch that fucking piece of shit.
Bullock.
Oh my God.
And Peter Gallagher.
How can you judge him, his whole career, on a fucking romantic comedy?
Because I judge him on that. I don't know. I judge him on a lot of stuff. It's not just that. But that's what he did to me. You just asked what he did to me.
That's what he did to you personally? Okay. Yeah, personally. You know what? I can accept that.
We will allow that.
I'm sure that was a crappy movie.
It was. Well, no. That's the problem. It was a good movie until he showed his face. Until he showed his ugly mug in that movie.
Oh, whatever. He's cute.
He was attractive in this movie. I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, wait. Bill Pullman was attractive once?
See, and the reason why I love him, because he was Lone Star in Spaceballs, he was such a cutie. Yeah. Yeah. And he has a sexy voice. What do you want?
He also did Independence Day to me, too. Oh, God! That's another one he did to me.
Oh, God! When he does the speech in Independence Day? Okay, I'm sorry. That is really bad. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, Phil Pullman.
Keep going.
Phil Pullman, sometimes you make it hard to love you, buddy, but I still do.
I don't.
Anyway. Let's talk about cast we did like while we're getting into opinions, because I want to say, Brent Jennings as Mozart was awesome.
I love Mozart.
And
then he dies. That was horrible.
Zakes Mokay.
As Petrard?
As Petrard is a really great actor. I mean, he was a fucking evil dude. He was so good.
He did Bottle Shock, too. That's how he hurt me.
Oh, would you stop it? We're moving on from Bill Pullman now.
Sorry. Yeah, Petrard was good.
That's a Zakes Mokay. He wasn't an actor that I was familiar with, but apparently he is a very respected actor. He's from South America.
Yes,
or
he is.
I'm sorry, South Africa, not South America.
It's hard. They're close to each other, right?
Yeah, they're so close.
The continent apart, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of ambivalent towards Kathy Tyson, you know, because she slept with Bill Pullman. But, well, no, I mean...
Her character was like, I'm sorry. I thought their relationship was so unrealistic.
Yeah, no, I didn't want the relationship. Mm-mm. You have a movie about voodoo, I want it about voodoo. I don't give a shit about the little relationship. I don't need that.
We don't need it.
It's totally unnecessary. It's not a
romantic
film.
And the sex scene was totally unnecessary.
And completely illogical. You know how much sand you would get in your crevices? I mean, no. They didn't even have a blanket to put down. No. I'm out.
I think there was more than one sex scene, wasn't there?
I thought there was only one. I don't know, I kind of blacked it out
I seem to remember there was one where she's, like, on top in a bed or something. I don't know.
I don't remember that.
Maybe I blacked it out. But I thought there were two. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If they were completely unnecessary, whether there was one or two,
I don't mind it in a movie normally, but it didn't fit in this movie.
Yeah.
It just did not fit in this movie.
It did not. There was no point to it.
I was sad. Oh, I guess I'm going on my
opinions. I found it completely, like, not only ridiculous, but also kind of presumptuous and, like, arrogant that they would even put that in the movie. Like, oh, he goes to this native land and he's the big white hero and he falls in love and the girl falls in love with him. And it's like, fuck you.
And then he leaves her.
Yeah, and then he leaves her, of course.
Dick.
But then he goes back for her when he shouldn't. Ugh!
I know.
His character pissed me off so much in this movie. Can
Sounds
I just
how you
say?
Really feel.
He did. All the things he did. Like, it was so stupid. I'm sorry. His character was so
stupid.
He's
stupid.
I don't... And I have to... He has to claim some of the blame.
Yeah, no, he does.
For his character's performance. Because, he was such an arrogant idiot.
Can I say, too, that if you have a movie... You need to have subtitles in this. I know it's an older movie, but reissue it with subtitles.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't get understanding it.
But then again, like, we watched... Okay, so what we did to watch this... I believe this is... At least it used to be streaming somewhere. I don't know if it still is, but I own a copy of this movie. But the copy I own is, like, in a 4-pack of, like... 4 horror movies, so it's not the best quality. It's not like I own specifically The Serpent and the Rainbow. When The Serpent and the Rainbow has its own DVD release, which it has,
yes.
I'm sure that one probably has the subtitles.
Oh, okay,
but I got it in a 4-pack, like a cheap 4-pack
of
horror movies.
Other crappy movies. I was looking at the other 4-pack.
Right. They put one successful movie in and 3 duds that you've never heard of.
No, there are 4 crappy movies in that 4-pack.
Well, that's how they do it, though. I mean, that's what they're aiming for. They're like, oh, there's one Wes Craven film and then 3 pieces of crap you've never heard of.
Phantasm the second? I was like, what the hell?
Which is bullshit because everybody loves Phantasm, so you give us the sequel, okay.
Yeah,
because
you're spending $5 on this 4-pack,
right.
That's why.
I know, but so I'm saying that's probably why there wasn't subtitles. Probably if you bought The Serpent and the Rainbow on DVD or Blu-ray, it probably had a subtitle track. but I got it so cheaply, it didn't have one.
Good point.
And it was hard without the subtitles.
It was very, because the accents. Mm-hmm. What did you think about when Bill Pamperin? I need a pamperin after watching this movie. No.
Bill Pullman's character needed a pamperin sometimes.
He did. Oh my god, he was such a bitch.
I wanted to give him one.
How do you feel like when he was acting alongside the jaguar, the viper, and the tarantula? Remember he was acting with those animals?
Oh.
They were tame. They were wild animals, though. They were raised in captivity and were relatively tame. I don't know where I'm coming with this. I just saw that in trivia.
The tarantula was, too?
Yeah, it wasn't CGI. It was an actual... They were actual animals.
Oh.
I wish they would have mauled them. I was really hoping for it. Well, I was like, jaguar, you know, jaguar.
They were also in his ayahuasca trip, which I read in the book it was an ayahuasca trip. Because I was like, what is he on, ayahuasca?
What's ayahuasca?
Okay, ayahuasca is a very, very strong hallucinogenic.
Oh.
And it comes from... It's native to... Oh, I don't have the plant... I didn't think to include this information.
Well, you didn't know I would ask it.
Yeah.
Because I just happened to see that.
It comes from, I want to say it's a vine plant, and it comes from the roots.
Okay, I'll buy it.
I have actually, like, listened to a whole, like, 6-part podcast investigation into this guy did a whole investigation into ayahuasca, and he actually did it and reported what happened and everything like that.
Can we do it?
We should. Okay. So, it's really dangerous, though, actually.
Can you do it?
I will. And it's very, very powerful, and so it's like, it's one of those ones where you probably aren't going to like your trip, but then afterwards, a lot of people get a lot out of it, like people
like say they have... spirit quest.
Yeah, people say they have spiritual experiences, they say their life changes, basically, after they do it, but... While they're doing it, a lot of the times they're not having a good trip.
You should definitely do it then.
Thank you. It's very kind of you to suggest me to do that. Yeah. So yeah, those animals then became like his spirit guides or something. And
yes, they were. And there's where the serpent was.
He claimed in the book to have had this spiritual journey during his ayahuasca trip, and to have this jaguar spirit guide kind of leading him around.
Jaguar spirit guide?
I mean, it's kind of
I
cool.
want an ocelot spirit guide.
That'd be cool, too.
I love me some ocelot. Sorry, keep going with your opinions. I keep interrupting you. You have lots of opinions.
That's fine. I know. You know me. I've always got opinions. All right, let me talk... Okay, so let me talk good things, because I did pick this movie.
Oh, okay. I thought to torture me.
It took me a while, though. We are recording this way after the fact, because...
5 weeks?
Yeah. It wasn't our intention to go that long, but I did need, some time to kind of gather my feelings and process the film, because it had been a while since I saw it, and I had a lot of nostalgia wrapped up in it, and I didn't want to just be like, nostalgia, I love it! Because I didn't love it this time. But I did have some good things. I thought the dream / hallucination sequences were really awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesomely shot. They felt very visceral. And they were cool.
And the jaguar, I thought it was really going to eat Bill Pullman. I was excited about that.
Yeah. And leading into that, I thought the special effects were really good. Mm-hmm. The cinematographer, his name was John Lindley. Like I said before, he really captured the street culture really well. Paul Winfield? Who's Paul Winfield? I wrote down he was somebody I liked, but now I can't remember who the heck he was.
Good job.
I know. I think I meant Brent Jennings. I think I meant Mozart. I really loved Mozart, and I really loved Jacques Mocquet. So those were my good things
Paul
about
Winfield
it.
Was Lucien Celine.
Who was Lucien Celine?
I don't remember.
I don't even remember who he was now.
Well, that's what happens when you watch it 5 weeks later. He was a friend of Dennis Allen's.
Oh, he was his friend. Guide. Lucien was his friend in Haiti.
Yeah.
Now I remember. Okay, I liked Paul Winfield, apparently.
Who also died. Everyone died in this movie.
I know.
Except for Bill Pullman.
Okay, so bad things. Things I didn't like. As I've said, I didn't like Bill Pullman's character. I thought the pharmaceutical company anesthesia plot was total weak sauce, which is what I wrote in my notes, a.k.a. stupid.
Weak sauce.
It was a dumb idea. Like, who would think that would make a good anesthetic? Zero people. Like, seriously. And also, what I kind of said before, the book takes time to portray voodoo with respect and accuracy, but the movie just takes out all the cliche elements and spits them back out at you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you get.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion.
Okay. My opinion is, I liked the parts when I thought Bill Pullman was going to die. Like, the part where he dies in the village. And then the part where Mozart gives him that stuff that's supposed to make him die. And you see him drink it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he tricked Mozart. And he didn't really drink that. I was really upset by that he tricked Mozart. just kidding. I liked Mozart. I liked Petrad. I liked Lucian. I agree with that. I liked the music. Uh-huh. I don't know. Having taken non-Western music,
uh-huh.
it's somewhat accurate. But not completely 100% authentic.
Say it's never...
It's close.
Not just this movie, but any movie... Any music that's portraying, like, non-Western, it's still gonna have, like, a Western perspective because we're the ones doing it.
It is, but they have some of the right instruments, though.
Right.
So I was pleased by that, like, the djembes, the kalimbas, all that stuff. So I was pleased by that.
Like, they made an effort to make it authentic, but you're never gonna get something truly authentic.
Right. No, that's not gonna happen unless it's made from that area.
It's always, because it's always gonna be...
Or it's made by somebody from that area.
Right. Because otherwise, you're always seeing it through a Western lens.
It'd be nice if they hired people from there, though.
That would be nice.
You know, they're down in the Dominican Republic. Why are you not...
Right.
So, whatever.
At least, I mean, there was... At least you... Default got a really diverse cast.
You did.
But they could have hired some, like, actors who are actually from there.
Or good actors, like not Bill Pullman.
American or, you know, not assholes.
Just
kidding. I'm just kidding. There was a good cast except for Bill Pullman.
I like the dancing. Like, whoa. I know, again, it brings back to the music. It's not 100% authentic, but it was still cool to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with the voodoo. If we know... What voodoo is supposed to be. That's not 100% voodoo. I mean...
Well,
and it's like the bad parts of voodoo.
Right, and...
It's painted with a broad and ugly picture.
My experience with voodoo is much more the Creole voodoo that is very much part of America, not, like, Haitian voodoo. Like,
right.
That's,
so we don't really know Haitian voodoo, but...
Yeah, we don't. So it was kind of cool to see. I loved the ceremony... Where they all went down to the river when they were dancing after that guy was overthrown,
mm-hmm.
the government dude, and they all went down to the river and they had this big, they were all dancing and they had the statue that they were carrying through the streets and it was
yes.
like floating in the water and they were all celebrating. That was cool.
That was cool. Makes you want to go there.
Yeah. It was so beautiful. The waterfall. And I mean, beautiful countryside wherever they were filming.
The DR. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, oh, beautiful.
It was gorgeous. But yeah, I would like a stronger lead. Bill Pullman aside, I would have mm-hmm. liked a stronger actor in the lead. I would have liked better writing.
Better writing, for
Take
sure.
Take off the romance, because you don't need it for every movie you have.
And, yeah, and can we just, like, I mean, because this guy who actually did this, who actually went to Haiti and everything,
Wade,
yeah, you know, he didn't walk into Haiti like, I'm this arrogant asshole white guy. I mean, he just didn't, you know? He's lived in all these different countries. You know, it's like, try not to make such an idiot character in your movie, please. Thank you. Like, if I were him, I would have been pissed off at how they portrayed me.
I haven't seen anything about what he thinks about the movie.
I haven't either.
But
I think he's too busy being an ethnobotanist or whatever. Well,
no.
he's probably retired by now, but, I mean, he was too busy having a career, I'm sure.
They screw him, though, because so a little piece of trivia getting out of my opinion, but that's fine, because I'm kind of down with my opinion. I'm over it. I don't think it deserves a 6.8, but we'll move on from there. Wade Davis agreed to sell the book rights on the condition that Peter Weir directed and Mel Gibson star.
Oh.
Obviously, those conditions were not met, and I think Mel Gibson would have been pretty good, although I don't think he would have been... There's got to be somebody better than that.
It would have been Mel Gibson pre-Mel Gibson going insane, so yeah.
It would have been before everything, though. I mean, it would have been around before Braveheart time, even, I think.
Yeah, so I think Mel Gibson would have been good.
So that would have been different. That's all I have. Do you have any trivia? Or wait, I'm sorry. Do you have a favorite death I should ask first?
Favorite death. That's a hard one. I guess probably Petrad's death, because Zakes did such a good job of portraying him and making you hate him and being an evil bastard that it was like, thank you, when he died.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to agree with that one, actually. That's going to be my favorite death as well, too, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. Do we have a Marigold? I mean...
Possibly one of the, possibly you could say, like, the pharmaceutical company was kind of a Marigold.
I kind of agree with that.
Like,
they set it up and they weren't even in there.
You could have cut that whole part out. He could have just been going...
the ethnobotanist.
Right, the ethnobotanist going to Haiti to find out about Christoph, and, you know, we didn't need that part of it at all.
No, I agree. Okay, so the only trivia I have beyond what I've already said is this song inspired the song Voodoo by Godsmack. They wrote the song while they were watching this movie.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
I do like that
song. So if anything came out of this, it was that song.
I'm not a huge... I used to be a bigger Godsmack fan. I'm not a big Godsmack fan anymore, but in the 90s I liked them, and I liked that song.
I still love them. What do you have for trivia?
Okay, so I have a little bit of trivia. I wrote some notes. I did a little bit of Zombies in Pop Culture 101.
Okay.
That's my contribution for this episode.
Is this going to be really long?
No.
Okay,
good. I only have one page of notes, and it's a small page. It's a small page.
Cribbed writing, though. Look at that writing. It's so tiny.
It's not tiny.
Whatever.
Okay, so zombies in pop culture, in American pop culture, that's really important to say. The first time zombies appeared was in the 1938 nonfiction book Tell My Horse by Zora Neale Hurston, who I am a fan of. I've not read this book, however. I am a fan of her books, and now this makes me want to read it because I love her. But in her book, she reported multiple accounts of purported tetrodotoxin poisoning in Haiti by a Bokor, which is a voodoo sorcerer. And tetrodotoxin is the pufferfish poison.
Yeah.
That's the active ingredient of paralysis making. There's also another important toxin in the zombie potion that comes from not the pufferfish, but toad that's native over there.
Not the poison dart.
No, poison. Not the poison dart toads. Okay. No, this is a different toad.
Poison arrow frog. That's what it is.
Poison dart frog.
I thought it was PAF, poison arrow frog.
Poison dart frog.
Oh.
I mean, that's what the zoo told me. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
You can buy them.
I remember the thing PAF for some reason for poison. I don't know.
There might have been a different. These are toads though, not to frogs.
Oh, maybe that's it. Okay.
So I don't know, because these are toads. But anyway, the main ingredient that they consider to be crucial in the zombification potion is the tetrodotoxin from the pufferfish, aka the fugu.
Ooh. Fugu. See, I said it right.
Yeah.
Yay.
She was an influential author of African American literature and an anthropologist. She portrayed racial struggles in early 20th century American South.
She dead?
She is dead.
Oh, okay.
She was born January 7th, 1891, and she died January 28th, 1960.
Very dead.
Yeah, she only lived to be 69. But yeah, she's very dead. So zombie comes from the West African Kimbudu word Nzambi, Nzambi.
Okay.
Which really only meant spirit. But it eventually evolved into the word zombie, which meant undead person. However, Haitian zombie, in Haitian folklore, was just a dead body that was... It didn't mean the same thing it means now. In Creole voodoo, it came from Haitian folklore, and it meant a dead body reanimated by black magic.
Nice.
In English, its first appearance in the language was in 1819. The poet Robert Southley wrote A History of Brazil. A century later, 1929, W.B. Seabrook introduced Americans to the novel The Magic Island about Haitian voodoo cults and their zombie minions.
Oh, I want to read that. Is that a book, you said?
Yes. The Magic Island. And then in 1932, the very first movie in America to portray zombies came out called White Zombie, which is another one that I own. And it's kind of been on my maybe list for this podcast.
Okay, it now is, it's on the list. Does it have Charlie Chaplin on it?
No, but Bela Lugosi, though.
Nice! Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll definitely watch this one.
And in White Zombie, Bela Lugosi plays an evil voodoo priest who turns a woman in Haiti, she's a white woman, though, into a zombie, then uses a magic potion, he uses a magic potion that, quote-unquote, kills her, then another one that allows her to live again. And then after that, there was really nothing until 1968 when Night of the Living Dead came out. Of course, thank we all you. Know about that. Love George that Romero.
Yay.
That turned zombies into aggressive predators rather than mindless slaves. Up until that point, they had just been mindless slaves who worked for the voodoo sorcerers. And that was basically when the modern zombie was born.
Thank you, George.
And that's my trivia.
Nice. That wasn't too bad, I guess. Thank you.
It's better than it could have been.
Yeah, definitely.
I could have gone into the whole, like, history of zombies in actual voodoo, but...
Please don't.
You're welcome.
All right, you ready to rate this bitch?
Yeah.
I hated it. I'm gonna give it... What did I just give that other movie? It's better than... No, it's not better than Paranormal. I'm gonna go 2.6.
Oh my god, you thought it was worse than Paranormal Activity?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2.6.
I'm going to give this movie a solid 6.
You know, if it didn't have Bill Pullman in it, I'd have to give it like a 4. But 2.6.
So I'm going to give this movie a solid 6.
Oh.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Lies.
I thought it did have some saving graces, a few anyway, and I thought it at least had, it had a higher production value than a 3 or a 2, so I gave it a 6.
All right, fine. I'll be like a nice 3.7.
Hey, you can keep your rating. I'm not here to try to make you change your rating. You're
here to make you feel bad about myself?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And then you said there was no fanfiction.
There's no fanfiction,
Bradley. That's disappointing.
Well, is it, though? We can make our own, probably.
Let's cross it with Ed, Edd, and Eddy. Or
I was going to say My Little Pony. I want zombie ponies.
Zombie ponies?
Yeah. Come on, we can
An
do it.
An evil voodoo sorcerer moves into Ponytown and starts resurrecting dead ponies to be his undead minions.
I like it.
I like it too. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, cool. Anything to pimp for us? I don't have anything.
No, just us. So, if you don't have anything to pimp, then I'll just go into my spiel.
Do your spiel.
We are theymostlypodcastatnight.com. You can go to our website for show notes and to listen to episodes. We are hosted on anchor.fm/podcastatnight. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere. You can find podcasts, basically, any podcatcher apps, we're there. We're even on Blueberry for Roku.
I'm so excited about that. I can't wait to look at that tonight.
I know. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I haven't been home, so. I have no home.
Our email address, should you want to email us, is podcastatnight@gmail.com.
True story.
We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter @podcastatnight. We have a new Facebook group where you can interact with your fellow fans of the show and talk about all things horror. What else?
Redbubble?
Oh, and we have a Redbubble. I know, I always almost forget our friggin' merch store.
You don't want people to buy our shit, apparently.
I do, though, I do.
But I want people to buy my pillow and put their face next to my pillow.
Okay. Should we get pillows that say Team Chaos and Team Punish so they can sleep with their face right on your name?
Yes! Okay. And then I'll sell them with my face. And then they can sleep with my face.
So we have a Redbubble store. The link can be found on our Instagram or in our show notes. And you have t-shirts, stickers, mugs, pillows, bags, anything you can think of, basically. We've got our logo on. So please check that out. And that's it from me. So this is Chaos saying, stay bloodthirsty, friends.
This is Carnage saying goodnight. And as always, we're filmed in front of a live studio audience of cats. Meow.